Action Park Media.
Welcome to Victory the Podcast. Doug Ellen.
Kevin Dillon.
And Kevin Connolly. We're covering an episode today.
Season 3.
Season 3B.
Episode 3.
Episode 2.
What was that episode 2?
Dog Day Afternoon.
All right, so Dog
Classic
Day Afternoon.
Classic episode.
Good stuff to talk about. I've got my, you guys just met my shelter dog that I adopted, Boo, at the shelter.
I can't believe how
she's
well
awesome.
I can't believe how well behaved Boo is.
Yeah,
she's amazing.
West Side German Shepherd, you know, which I put in the show. So the German Shepherds are a big thing, but everyone should adopt. So, but I just want a couple things before we get into this episode I want to get into. We're 16 days away.
Right.
Kevin Dillon, who is our, let's put it this way. It's hard to say this in front of Connolly.
It's not hard. I don't give a fuck.
This is our fucking home run hitter.
Yeah.
He's a little nervous.
You're making me nervous now.
Not that he can't perform. He's a little nervous, but, you know, he's back with the team again. So, you know, we're trying to bring back the magic, and it's a different thing, but it's awesome.
I have, if you can hear this, I got a paper script in front of me right now.
Dillon needs a hard copy script.
I do, because I got to make my notes.
But I'm very nervous.
But, you know, Kev, what we're going to do, we spoke to somebody. They're going to send production over with a printer, which, by the way, is fucking $80.
Yeah.
And they're going to hook it up and teach you how to print. So for the future. No, I'm serious. Just like,
I've had printers in the past.
No, now they're like, they're so good. They're
the
so
funniest
cheap.
Thing about this, though, is Dillon is a guy. He'll take our cars apart and put it back together, but he can't figure out how to get a fucking three brad.
Oh, technology's gotten crazy, yeah. Man. I went to the Lakers Nick game. It's all electronic.
Everything
now.
Is electronic.
It was so hard to get into
that
building.
Mean? What do you mean?
Like the tickets are electronic.
Yeah, you got to go through a Ticketmaster or whatever. Right. There's no paper ticket. I miss paper
really?
Ticket.
Yeah, look, I agree. And I also, I mean, I think we all do. Like, I work off a hard script. Right, Dillon? So it sounds like we're being sarcastic, but we're going to get you a printer.
Yeah.
And it's easy. I get it. It's a little overwhelming. I'm not a big tech guy, but
we're going to
handle the printer.
We're going to do whatever we have to, because as I say, like once upon a time in Hollywood, you are Kevin fucking Dillon. And I'm just, I honestly can't be more excited for this. But I'm nervous as well. Just so we know, I'm letting it all out there. $100,000 left my bank account today. To get rolling on this fucking thing. And I'm in. So I'm just asking everybody for
now you have 80 million and 900,000.
I wish. But
now you have 79 million and 900,000 in the bank.
But we just gotta keep our heads down for a month, and I really think good things are gonna happen, and the cast is coming together.
Did you notice that every podcast episode opens up with a pep talk for us?
I'm trying to be McVay. Yeah. Did you see the sickest thing?
By the way, maybe McVay is better looking than
okay,
me.
So Sean McVay,
maybe
Rams, did you see this thing? Sean McVay won High School Player of the Year over Calvin Murphy.
Oh, I saw a clip of Sean McVay.
High school player, so he was a good high school player?
Yeah, he was a freakishly good high school player.
And,
so.
And also, too, did you see that viral clip of McVay where they're asking him about specific plays like from years ago?
No, and he knows everything?
And he knows every play. When he was not even a head coach, it's like Bucks skins. Such and such. It's fourth down, third and 12. What do you do? And he's like, oh, that's a four-man slant, cross, first down, touchdown. Right. Like, he knows every play.
He's a genius.
The guy's a savant.
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, it's tough. Obviously, I've said it before. I've gotten really invested in the Rams because we got to meet a lot of them and because it's L.A. and all of that stuff. But Burrow also, man, did you see Burrow? Like, they showed him, and he wasn't getting any love as a recruit. So he, like, tweeted things to reporters, like, help me get some attention on me. And, you know, then he transfers from Ohio State to LSU. He wins the Heisman, wins the national championship, and now he's in the Super Bowl, and he's just fucking cool.
He's got a lot of confidence.
Yeah. But he's not cocky. I think he's cool.
I think he's a little cocky.
You do?
Yeah, with the cigar.
But healthy. I think
he wins. You know, he's going to the Super Bowl. You'd think he'd throw your arms up in the air and start smiling a little bit, but he's got that.
He's focused.
You know,
man.
What? The job's not done, bro.
And you know what he said? You guys would like this because Dillon's like this. He says, you don't work out and post it on Instagram. Just do your fucking work.
Right.
So,
we know where you'd be
posting. Because I don't really work out. I just try to fucking get it to look good for Instagram.
I've been hitting the gym, getting ready for my topless scene.
You do look good. And you're wearing, my friend's company shirt that we use those shirts on Entourage. Adrian definitely wore that shirt. Did you wear that on Entourage?
I think I did, So I might have just stole it out of the trailer. I mean, I stole a lot of wardrobe out of the trailer.
You got good muscle memory, Kev. You look good.
Yeah, I bounce back quick. The upper body does.
What do? You just go in and you just do 20 minutes of chest and arms.
Chest and arms and back. You got to do the back
muscles.
A little bit.
On camera.
Did you not get in the gym with us in Hawaii? I mean, with cocktails, by the way, the guys.
We hit it pretty good.
I mean, we're doing sets, we're doing reps and shots at the same time, and he's yelling. I mean, people at the Four Seasons Maui were fucking scared.
I had to get you fired up, bro.
You did. Yeah. And actually, it's the last time I lifted a weight. So
no,
I'm gonna.
I have been so.
I'm not complaining because I've actually been enjoying it, but I've really been so freaking focused. And again,
you're definitely
happier
than normal.
Well, I like having a purpose that actually has an end goal. When you're writing a script, normally like, okay, I'm going to send it out to 12 people,
right.
Have 12 jerk-offs tell me their opinions. I'm making this with or without anybody, not including you guys, because you guys
right,
absolutely
no, but it's,
need
it's,
so.
It's nice to be working on something that is happening, as opposed to like, well, if we get this in shape, we go pitch it, this is actually...
Yeah, and,
actually
and also, this. Just so, you know, you guys can explain to the audience, because Dylan reads a script when he doesn't like something, instead of just calling me like he knows he's going to do anyway... He internalizes it, he stresses about it, and then he gets mad at me when I'm not even involved in the situation.
No,
you know, like I've spent, John McGinley, I mean, I've spent 5 hours talking about this script. The guy is like really thoughtful on it, and he's fucking amazing. And Charlie, we've gone through it, and now other cast members, Breezy, I think, is locked, and I think we have Kimiko Glenn, who's amazing from Orange is the New Black and a million other things, and the show's really just coming up. But Dylan and I, he's my last stop, so he's going to go through the script, and we'll go through everything, and we'll make sure it feels good, you know, coming out of your mouth. That sounds fucking weird, but after Connolly
feels
fucking
good
after
out
Connolly
mouth,
praising
disgusting.
Your muscle memory for 20
you're
minutes
disgusting.
I'm like a little
give us right. One more pep talk now.
I want to give you one more, but anyway, you need a Super Bowl pick. I know Connolly likes his evergreen. Just give me the score and the pick. Go
You know, I think I'd like to see the Rams run away with it. I like the Rams. I think
you're
Rams
more emotional
defense.
About it though,
defense always wins Super Bowls.
27-17 Rams.
I had 31-17 Rams,
right? So it's not my score.
Yeah. No, that's yours. 27-17 is yours. I got.
But you said it like we had the same one. You're like, wow, I had.
I posted it. It's not like I'm making it up now.
Right,
I already.
Sure.
I already
you're on the record with it on Instagram.
I'm on the record.
It's tough to keep up with you on the gram.
You know what? I've Dylan's been active on the gram. He got a fuck
me. Yeah. I don't do anything on the gram.
Yeah, sometimes once in a while.
So, all right. When we return, we're going to talk about which I have a lot to say about this episode because there were behind the scenes stuff going on this, and then anyway. We'll be back. Welcome back, Victory the Podcast. Connolly reminded me, I forgot, the genius Will Sasso, who plays a very big part in this episode. We'll get into that. But
he's a big dude.
He's a big dude, and he really is. He's brilliant, and he's done tons
great.
Of TV,
yeah.
Tons of movies, and he's awesome. So we need him on the new show.
So
anyway.
one of the things about this episode that I like, and we talk about this a lot, there's episodes where it's all four guys together in every scene for the entire episode,
yeah.
And then, which I know was always more tricky for you, Doug, was the episodes where we split off.
Yeah.
So it's Ian, Vince, Drama and Turtle, Ari and Lloyd.
It was three storylines. I loved it.
I mean, that episode was 20. We just watched it on HBO Max. That episode's 28 minutes long.
Yeah.
And it felt like a 2-hour movie in a good way.
Yeah. I want to say that about this. You know, it's always, you know, it's easier to write a bunch of people sitting together. It makes it cheaper. It makes it this. Once you start splitting off and you know, you try to figure out how these guys get together again. But what I want to say with no unabashed feelings, I don't care what anybody says. That was one, I haven't seen it in years. That was one of the best half hours of television. I've seen it a long time. I'm sure some assholes have some problems with a couple lines of dialogue, but they're realistic.
Oh, no,
they're realistic.
The list of lines that wouldn't fly in 2022 is plentiful.
We didn't make the list. This time, but
I want to go behind the scenes before it was done.
Let's tell kind of the brief overlay of what would probably be the controversial storyline.
Yeah,
which is the Will Sasso character Jay Lester, who is like the equivalent of whoever, like a big TV writer as you can possibly be, and he's a free agent. And he's gay, and Ari is like trying to tee up Lloyd to kind of to kind of help sign him, right?
Yeah, and I wrote the script, and we were all happy with it, you know. And we gave it into HBO, and Carolyn Strauss, who I love and respect everything that comes out of her mouth, she called me up and said, "I do not like this. I'm not gonna tell you what to do. Do what you want." Now, two things happened. Number one, Mad Men had basically the same storyline. I'm not saying they got it from us at all, but months after us, they had the same storyline where Joan is basically given to Jaguar so they could get the Jaguar account on Mad Men, and Mad Men is like my favorite show of all time, so I'm not comparing it or anything like that. But But the story was that, and I said to Carolyn, I said, I really believe like this is going to play in a different way. And I remember after this episode came out, because it was one of the episodes that went for reviews, the Wall Street Journal, I remember it specifically, said Entourage just went to another level. And, you know, I don't know where the turn comes for some of the critics and stuff, but as we're going along on the show, I'm going to look at it. And when I see and I go, fuck, what happened to us? I will see it. It didn't happen because this episode... acting.
Well, there's also major redemption from Ari, who goes in and they stand up to him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I thought, listen, the things I would say is, A, like, Carolyn, was the greatest thing about being at HBO, is that Carolyn Strauss would voice that opinion and then...
it didn't stop her.
But said, listen, if that's what you want to do, I disagree. I don't want you to do it, but she still gave you the freedom to do
and
what
I wonder if she liked
do.
The episode in the end, because it was great episode.
She told me she really liked it in the end, which
is
great.
But that's the bonus of working at HBO. They give you the benefit of the doubt.
I don't know how many episodes Mark Mylod did before this, because I'm sure we've talked about it, but I don't remember.
But it's earlier, this is where he starts to really come into play.
Yeah. And you could feel Mark Mylod is now probably, I don't know, he's probably the biggest television director
in the
business.
He's up there. He's
the
top five.
Just nominated for an Emmy for Succession. And, you know, what we started at, and you can see the difference, and it's not a choice of liking one more than the other, but Mark really wanted it bigger, more cinematic, and Kevin will get into a specific shot that he debated with Mark on the set that he ultimately agreed Mark was right about. We'll get into that in a minute. But it really looks like a movie, and it really feels like a big movie.
It moves.
Yeah. And it does. And all the storylines are really working. But let's jump into the beginning. As I'm sitting here with my beautiful shelter dog, Boo, here, it was great that this was a dog episode. So,
right. You know, guy, Turtle and Drama are going to the dog park.
Well,
you didn't even know we were doing this episode.
I had
dog
no
day
idea.
Afternoon. You show
had
up
no
for
idea.
The first time with your dog.
I had no idea. But it starts with what I really love, this storyline of like, Vince is a guy, he just like, he wants to be with his friends, whether they're dates or what. He's just
Vince gets separation.
He's
anxiety.
Needy.
He does.
Yeah, he's like this dog. That's why that's why the dog's here, by the way, because I can't leave her at home because she freaks out.
And also, like, could do without an accident. We don't need a dog accident.
We haven't had an accident.
No, I know. That's why
you know what? What's weird
she's
is
resting right
off
now.
Mic, off camera. Connelly looked at me real sadly and said, "I'm just jealous of this
what
dog."
What a great dog.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
the dog
she's
is
great.
Well behaved. The dog's sleeping right now.
Who's better behaved, this dog or Stock Tip Dave? What do you think?
This dog for sure.
Yeah.
This dog will not have an accident, okay? Unless she's sick. She won't have an accident. So we get into this episode, though, and E is already under duress that he wants to have a trip with his girlfriend, and Vince is like, yeah, that sounds like a great
idea.
Right,
he's like, rolling, like, how about I bring this one? How about I bring that one? And he gets into the travel companion theme, which is... important on a trip, maybe to Napa.
Oh yeah,
but a travel companion, you know. I mean, Doug, I would imagine be kind of weird.
Oh
about
my
that
God!
Kind of
First
stuff.
Of all, we were all weird about it. We just went to Hawaii together. How much discussions did we have with like, are we going to get along or are we going to ignore each other? Are we going to, you know? And we did all right, I think.
Did all right.
I don't know if I'm doing it again, but
but let's talk about the dog park, right? Yeah. So where was that dog park? Because I don't.
That was Laurel Canyon, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's just like a dirt patch now. If I'm crazy, like I don't think there's grass there anymore. Is there?
Well, you know, when you have that many dogs running around, it becomes a dirt patch, but it's still a dog park. It's
I don't go to the dog park ever.
Well, you know, it's also a dangerous dog park. I heard they lose an average of one dog a month at that dog park.
What do you mean
lose? Coyotes?
No, to other dogs.
What?
That's what I said. I said, so a dog a month. They said, well, let's put it this way. It's more than 12 a year.
Wait. You mean a dog runs away or
no,
a dog kills
dog
another
fights,
dog?
It's a dog, dog kills another dog. I mean, you got to be responsible at the dog.
Jesus.
Wow. But that gets into a theme of this episode.
I've never heard of a dog killing another dog.
Have you not seen a battle,
I imagine
a Royal
happens,
Rumble?
But
I've seen some
fights.
Ugly Royal Rumbles.
Yeah, I don't want my dog at the dog park, but
your
I will say
too
this.
Snobby for
no. I just, I didn't think about him getting killed. First of all, Baron will beat the fuck out of anyone at the dog park. But I don't want him in fights. I don't want him drinking out of community water. I don't know. It's like,
he's a dog.
Drinking out of the community.
He'll
dog
drink a puddle.
Pool.
The dirty puddle's okay.
He'll drink his own urine in the run. But
been in Hollywood a long time, bro. My dog only drinks bottled water.
Evian and fresh-made shrimp and lobster.
So where'd that story come up?
So I feel like Weiss had to have a hand in that story because, I mean, I think he's a dog park guy, but getting Busy Phillips. But I think...
What a great get. Busy Phillips is awesome.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She's awesome.
Yeah, and so was Kevin. Cameron.
Richard right. Simmons they're, great they're, too. Just, they're great. They're great in the episode.
But I think that that's where it started from. And it really is, again, the way we make the show is it's about this family and Vince and Erica, the parents, and the two kids are like, are all excited. They're going away. What are we going to do? We're going to go to the freaking dog park. And they read that it's chicks. A great it's place.
A pickup place.
Yeah, which, right. by the way.
L.A.
Which
LA.
It is, actually.
Oh, I was going to say it's not. Is
no, it?
It
is.
Oh,
it
really?
Is, yeah. Back then, it was like considered like
yeah.
a really big
yeah, thing.
That,
girls
it probably
there
came
dogs.
From Weiss. That sound, it all sounds like Weiss. I have
it
no
sounds
idea.
Like, yeah, Weiss was borrowing people's dogs so he could visit the park.
Well, Weiss had the Roddy, you know? Weiss
right.
had,
yeah,
Weiss had
right.
the Roddy. And,
I remember
and,
that.
And he wasn't even involved in the pilot of Entourage, obviously, but he came on after and actually had a Roddy, even though Arnold was a Roddy.
I love that drama, of course, knows every breed
it's
of dog.
It's a Lhasa Apso.
Well, yeah, Turtle says, yeah, I don't know about that girl. She's holding a poodle. And he says, it's not a poodle, Turtle. It's a Lhasa Apso. What is the line, Kev? Do you remember
I can't really remember.
I'll start it. I'll start it. Ready? Lhasa Apsos are finicky. And finicky
dogs have finicky owners. And finicky owners make you wait 2 weeks to get a
make
rug.
Make you wait at least 2 weeks to get a tug.
Great, great dialogue.
That is good stuff. But the weird thing
Dylan
is...
Dylan said on the day that was a mouthful. Hey, Chief, yeah. It's kind of a mouthful, this line here. But you nailed it.
I think it was the scene after that was the mouthful.
The Rottweiler. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The part where you say, Rottweilers are just... A hard shell covering their deep emotions.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Whatever it was.
He had a lot to say. Yeah. I mean,
Dylan is always like this. He always thinks long sentences are problems, but you're actually really good at it. And I'm not trying to convince you. We'll make the sentences feel good.
No, it's the lists and names that you love to throw in there.
Also,
but
too,
by the way, I want to give props to Jerry, who was great in this episode.
Jerry was great. In this
he was
episode.
Really, really,
he was
good.
Really great.
And I'm
episode.
Waiting for Jerry.
And it's about loyalty too. Jerry, yeah. You like you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Don't throw my dog under
like,
the bus.
Like, well, you've been talking shit about my dog for 2 days.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, the dogs had a fight.
You
it was
threw,
a mutual
you threw
fight.
A steak that drama cooked.
Drama marinated for 24 hours.
And that's why I need, like, whoever still, whatever small section of the population that still exists that thinks these guys are animals, they're so not. He passes up a beautiful woman because she offends his dog.
Right.
He
just kept going on and on,
I mean, yeah.
on and on about the dog. And it was a mutual fight. You don't know what happened with that fight. That happened off camera. You do not know who started that fight.
By the way, what do you think about that, though? Because I think Jerry's actually wrong when I think about it. You should be able to throw meat and your dog not attack the other dog.
Well, but the point is, we don't really know what happened. Just because Arnold came out the victor.
If the dogs don't know each other that well, you
I don't
throw
think
meat.
It's not
in
a smart
front of two
idea.
Two dogs that don't know each other.
It is definitely not a good
Johnny
idea.
Johnny Drama marinated steak to the dogs.
You cut that meat in half.
You cut that meat in half. You know, a lot of times, like when we would do these scenes, obviously I was not there that day. The only thing I remember is that everybody was like raving about the day at the dog park.
Like, had a good time.
Like, it was just a fun day. It was a beautiful day. Everybody was happy with the work. I remember.
I'm glad everyone felt good.
I
actually have memories of that day being exhausting. I have pictures of Lucas was on set that day, my son. And it was a tiring day, actually. I don't know. Do you remember it, like, being a great
day? Was it a full day?
I remember it being a fun day.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it was that. It was, like, the morning or something. We banged that out in the morning.
We used to do that. That's the other thing people don't realize. We would do – a company move is when – you have to move, obviously stupid to say, but you have to move the whole company, which is a big, big move, right? So if you're at the dog park in the morning, then everybody, hair, makeup, every department has to pack up, load up, and drive to another location, and then load out into the new location, and light, and do all that kind of stuff. And we would do sometimes 2-3 company moves in a day.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying.
Rare for TV.
This is season 3. I mean, again, look at the show, look at the amount of locations, the amount of extras. This is a big episode, and we shot it still in under 7 days.
5 days.
Was it five?
Yeah, 5.5, maybe 6 days.
I mean, unbelievable. That's nuts. They would shoot that in 9 days now.
Yeah.
I mean, Succession would shoot that in 11 days. My 11 would be like, I need 11 days.
I need 11 days.
I wanted to go back just to the thing with the lists. Not the list. Do you think it came from my writing, whoever's writing, or getting to know you? Because you do, and I don't know if you know dogs like that. Dylan knows
shit. Knows dogs.
But Dylan knows, like, he could list...
I know dogs, yeah.
He could list plants like
Dylan
that.
Dylan knows dogs and garden plants.
Yeah, so...
I know everything, brother. I know battle scenes and Roman history. I know I have a lot of useless knowledge.
You're like Cliff Clavin from Cheers a little bit. So
well, Dylan's a historian. Yeah. Dylan knows a little.
No, but he really does. And I think I don't know. Did you know? Do you know those kind of things about the breeds of dogs, or was that?
Yeah, yeah. I don't really know what a Lhasa Apso is. No. I didn't know what that.
We don't know if a Lhasa Apso is truly
kind of into the bigger dogs. You know, the Dojo Argentinos.
But you're an American.
What's a
bulldog,
Dojo Argentino?
It's like an American bulldog, but even bigger and tougher, and they're used to like hunt cougars and jaguars and that
what?
Kind of
way, you like to hunt cougars.
Yes, I do.
Dylan's like a cougar now. Dylan, right?
Dylan's a cougar hunter.
Can you call a dude a cougar? I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, well, what are you?
A duger. It's called a duger.
I got news for you, Doug. You're a cougar as well, as am I. We're all cougars.
You know, it's funny because Dylan, and I appreciate this so much, but Dylan says, because he knows I wanted to be in this new show and that it all started with me writing it in, but as I've said before.
Dylan's trying to find you a role. He's like, you know, Chief, you could play this role.
I've got more talent, but there's a scene that takes place at a school with a student, and Dylan's like, you could play that guy. I'm like, Dylan, he's supposed to be like 22 years old. I'm 50 fucking 4 in April.
Don't let my childish sneakers.
Well, I don't want to give anything away, but he didn't have to be a student. I mean, that's the
yeah, I guess that's possible, you know. But I just don't want the head tattoo to make you think I'm 21. I mean,
Oh, yeah, how'd that go, Doug? We want to talk about that? Or
did we not?
Was that pain?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you left here. You were going to get the head tattoo.
Oh,
yeah.
It was.
You
again,
were not looking forward to it.
It was terrible, but it's worth it. And I do see a big difference, and you will see it. Day one on set, the hat comes off for good. That's my plan. You know?
That's what I was going to say, so you're not going to wear a hat.
I'm not wearing a hat on set, no. I'm getting.
Are you going to have a personal photographer?
Claudette is coming on the show. All
right, but that's for everybody. You need, like, your own guy.
You know,
or a girl.
You're right. I'm going to get one too.
He does. He needs
a
separate.
So he's not running around with his phone.
Right. He needs a separate. Like, he wants Claudette taking pictures of everything else. He needs his own personal.
Yeah. But I want you
maybe
guys.
Maybe Stockton Dave can do that.
Okay. Does he know how to work a camera?
No.
And will he be in the bathroom all the time?
No. Yeah. He might miss some good shots.
So I want you guys, though, to really embrace the pictures so we get. Like,
I get it.
If nothing else, this is like, I know we're going to make a great show, but if nothing else, let's have some great memories.
Let's have some.
Can
fun.
We do that? Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, I mean, I never got the book. You know, I still never got the book.
You never came to the rap party.
I mean, I know, but you should have saved me one.
I have a book for you.
Can I have it, please?
You know what?
I would love to have those pictures.
Here's my deal. At this rap party, when we feel we delivered, I will give you. It's two books. Or did I give you one?
I got the blue one.
Okay.
No. The blue one is the one that was sold in the store.
Oh, yes, that's the only one I got.
That's crap.
That's the only one I got.
That's Fugazi.
All right. There are two books.
That's a Fugazi.
That, honestly, are time capsule pieces. I wish that Claudette could reproduce them and we could sell them because they're amazing. But two books are waiting for you when we wrap and you fucking smile and say that was as good. And I don't mean the script or anything. That was as much fun as Entourage. Right. That's what I want.
Shooting of this.
Yeah, because we actually talked about this earlier today that Dylan, you know, we've talked about it in the pile, but Dylan gathered. I tell that story again because Platoon, it's the 35th anniversary of Platoon. So I just want you to connect Tom Berenger.
Is it the 35th anniversary like right now?
I just saw it posted, so I don't know. Somebody
that was a couple of years ago. I'm 30. What is it?
I saw it tagged on.
Well,
like,
yeah, I mean,
you.
1986 or 87,
yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
that sounds 14, about right. 30, by the way, like, math not our strong suit,
yeah,
Dylan.
Terrible.
You know your plants. You're just
I
not
don't
a
know math for shit.
So, but connect me that Platoon, amazing movie with amazing cast. I just watched the doc, and we're lucky enough. We're bringing some of Dylan's Platoon cast back. Charlie Sheen.
That's gonna be cool. I mean,
John McGinn. I'm still working.
It's got like a little Platoon and Entourage vibe. We got cast members from both coming back.
And I'm working on Forrest Whitaker. I'm not saying I'm going to get him, but I'm working on Forrest
Whitaker.
Feels
like a long shot.
You know what? McGinley felt like a long shot. I got this Oscar winner in my back pocket who may just be doing this, but we'll see. I don't want to talk about that either. What was the story on the Entourage pilot you said to the guys, and how did it relate to the Platoon story?
For those of you that haven't listened, haven't seen Platoon, go see Platoon.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah. Right. But aside from it, it's like the quintessential, and there's been some great ones, but
it was the first realistic
war movie.
It was
like
movie
most
that was
people
just
will say it was the first realistic Vietnam movie that
it seemed
was ever
like
made.
The first Vietnam movie that was accepted by
the veterans.
Society. By
society
everyone.
That
veterans,
said, yes,
by
this
the
is,
critics.
This is it, right.
Yeah. Because now, it was very realistic for a war movie.
But what they did with these guys was, you know, they...
Training.
They sent them out into the fucking
Captain
jungle.
Captain Dale Dye, who I've been trying to get on this podcast, He said he would do it. I mean, he's got all the stories.
Get him next week.
By the way, maybe get him for the show for the platoon reunion. But that's interesting. Ooh.
Kylie.
Cool.
Kylie's still trying to get that APM sticker on this show.
We'll get him and Defoe. Yeah.
But basically, you know, what Oliver did and Oliver Stone and Dale Dye, like, beat these guys into the ground. So
2 weeks of jungle warfare training. I mean, it was intense.
And you saw
sleeping in the real dirt. Shit. Digging a hole and sleeping in the mud.
And you saw in real life a Navy SEAL died during training this week, which is horrible and tragic. But they really put you through stuff that...
There were times that guys were passing out from heat exhaustion. Right. It was like 115 degrees. We were taking salt tablets and we're drinking so much fluid, tons of water.
Right.
And also, you guys are actors. You're not soldiers.
Yeah, yeah.
They're actors.
I loved it.
Right.
It was like playing G.I. Joe. Ask Charlie if he loved it, though. He did not love it.
That's what I'm saying.
We got to somehow get a hold of our agents, man. We got to get out of here. We had no cell phones. We're out in the middle of no place.
Right. But I mean, so there were ups and downs to it, right?
Yeah.
Behind the scenes, there was some bitching and complaining, obviously.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, yes, it depends on how, you know, I embraced it. Depends on how
But getting back to Berenger says what to you that you brought to Entourage about what a great experience it was.
Just as a precursor to the story is that Berenger, who was probably one of the elder statesmen, saw a little, maybe not unrest, but maybe some guys like maybe bitching and complaining or whatever it was, right?
I don't even think it was that. Right. This was actually during the filming. It was during the training.
Yeah. Right.
About halfway through the filming, Berenger just said, he's like, guys, embrace this because this is as good as it gets. We're like, really? This doesn't get any better than this? Come on, man. Because, I mean, it was a tough shoot.
That's what I'm saying.
But
right?
It did get better for you.
But he just knew that it's going to be, a great movie with a great cast. And how much fun are we really having? And I do remember saying that to you guys during the filming of Entourage.
The pilot.
And I told you about that, how Berenger said this to me. And I'm going to say this to you guys because I feel like this is as good as it gets for TV. You're not going to ever get better.
We were at Houston's, which I believe is now out of business.
Oh,
right?
Terrible. Great
ribs.
We were at Houston's in the Century City
Mall.
No. It's called Hillstones now.
Oh, yeah. Now it's Hillstones. Okay, well, it was called Houston's. We were at Houston's in the Century City Mall.
Good spinach dip, too.
Four of us are sitting at the bar eating some food, and it was like in the middle of the pilot, and Dylan said, you know, guys, when I was doing Platoon, Tom Berenger gathered us all around, told us that this is as good as it gets, to look around and smell the roses because it's special. And now I'm telling you guys the same thing. This is special, so enjoy it, look around, and all that kind of stuff.
And so now that I hear that, Kevin Dillon, is that the only time you've said it again? Or do you say that on every show?
No, you know what? I've never said it again.
Of course.
That's the only time. But I had to keep saying, at the end of the first season, it's like, no, guys, stop panicking. Relax. This show is getting picked up. This show's going to go.
Right.
I had, because you guys, everyone was nervous, including you, Doug.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
And then season two.
Still nervous.
Still nervous. And I'm like, it's going. Trust me. This show's nonstop. It's going.
Here's the thing, though. Hindsight is 2020, but at the time, we shot a pilot, right? And now we're into the episodes. The show hasn't aired. We don't know anything.
No.
We have no idea what the response is going to be.
What we did know was we were doing something good. I felt like we were doing something special. I did, because I've done a bunch of pilots that nobody ever saw, and they weren't as good as this.
But I do believe this, and it's why I'm going to say this one more time. I believe that we had a special group that was engineered to feel like friends, and that ended up being friends because they were the right people for the right parts. We're bringing that whole vibe back together with the crew that was really good on our show.
Right.
And I think, again, I guess what I'm saying is, as 53 years old, let's really fucking enjoy this process.
Speak for yourself. Yo, when I mowed Dylan down in that plane.
That was the best acting I ever did. I had to pretend
season one ending.
Fucking mowed Dylan down.
This pipsqueak.
You got to tell people what you're talking about. Episode 8, season 1.
So, again, go back and watch it because it made the cut. I go running up the steps to the plane, and I just dropped my shoulder, not unlike Aaron Donald, and just leveled Dylan like he was a sitting duck. That is Joe Burrow.
And I had to like throw my hands up in the air and pretend like this little guy could ever do such a thing to me. Yeah.
The point is that while we were even shooting that, we still didn't really know what the show was.
Yeah.
We hadn't seen cuts of the episode.
Right.
We hadn't seen anything.
You guys
we
were
felt
boys.
Like we felt like we were doing good
yeah,
work.
No, no.
We were tight. Dylan was confident. There were people that were confident. I'm cynical, right? Obviously. I just didn't know. But so it's like it's just funny to think that we
didn't
really
remember
didn't
anyone
know.
Being confident except for me, to be honest with everyone.
Well,
was
you know
a
nervous
wreck.
You know who else was confident? Wahlberg was confident.
Yeah, yeah, he was.
Wahlberg was always confident.
He would come in and be like, oh, you guys are killing it, man. Just keep up the good work.
Pep talk. So you liked his pep talks. My
his
new shit.
His pep talks were quicker, well, more sporadic.
You were a nervous wreck.
Through that whole first season, we just didn't know.
But,
right?
But I guess what I'm saying tragically is Scotty and Stock Tip Dave, I want you to hear what I'm saying. Because I really mean this. At 53 years old now, I'm not just talking about the quality of it. I know we're going to make something good. I want it to be fun. I want us to have a fucking great time. No, no, I'm not ordering you. I'm just saying, like,
it sounds like you're ordering. You're fucking barking at me for
that 50th. And then I just want to, you made me think about something when you were talking about your Aaron Donald move. This is an aside. Did you guys watch the Tuck Rule 30 for 30?
No.
It is a fucking 10. It is
a 10?
Oh my God. It is so good. And Brady and Charles Woodson just. It's part of what I'm talking about.
Watch the Tuck Rule.
But they really talk about it like sliding door shit, that is a moment that could change, did change lives. And Tom Brady says, in that thing, he says, if I don't win that game, Drew Bledsoe is the starter the next season, and I have no idea what happens to my career. No idea.
Right. Wow.
Charles Woodson says, we were winning the Super Bowl, and we were going to win it again.
That was the Raiders Super Bowl to win.
And
that
the truth is, the rule is the rule, and I think it was called correctly, but it's a fucking ridiculous rule. He was trying to pull the ball back, and that should have been a fumble. And course, Charles Woodson made such a great... Anyway, I love Tom Brady, but I'm just saying...
Brady agreed that that was a bad call, right?
No, not a bad call, because it's the rule. He agreed
it's a bad rule.
He agreed that he was not trying to throw the ball, that he was trying to pull it back, but the rule is it has to touch his body or some shit. I have no idea. Anyway, it's a short hour, 30 for 30. I could have watched 10 hours of it. It was awesome, and Brady and Charles Woodson just really realized how many lives were affected
by one play.
By one play.
Right.
And that doesn't, the odds of it happening in the moment that it happened, and then all of the history before that with the snowplow incident all of that
think
shit.
About, I mean, again, we're going way off topic here, but fuck it. Think about Bill Buckner.
Yeah.
Think about that ball rolling through. By the way, guy's a career 286 hitter.
And he's remembered
Hall of
for
Famer,
that now.
And that's the only thing that anybody will ever remember about him. And it was one quick moment.
But it also still bothers me because they already tied the game up because of fucking like Schiraldi or Bob Stanley threw a wild pitch. I don't know why.
You got to grab that ball and step up first.
Okay, but you know what? Bill, I'm going to defend him. He shouldn't have been in the game. He was hurt and he shouldn't have been playing defense. But anyway.
Whatever.
Hey, right. back to Brady, though, since you brought him up. Yeah. Is he retiring? Is going to stay retired?
No. You saw what he said today.
No, what did he say?
He said, you never know. 6 months from now, I might change my mind. So,
you know what I think? He wants that MVP, which he deserves.
He did deserve it.
And if he was retiring, they'd be more likely to give it to him.
They also said that Tom Brady is going to be, he's got whatever his businesses are right now, he's going to be the first billionaire NFL player.
Yeah.
He's on his way to being a
billionaire. So
he would not be if they didn't make that call. Without the Tuck Rule, he would not be.
He probably also doesn't want to do camp, but we're... You know,
right.
You're so maybe, I mean, by retiring, maybe coming late to camp. And I mean, at 44, that beats these guys up. They hate
KD.
Camp.
How about he goes to the Giants and
he
takes
goes
them
to the
a
Giants
Super Bowl.
And get destroyed? Every one of his limbs will get broken.
Last thing before we get back to this episode, both of you guys will love the show. Watch this Jack Reacher show. It's great on Amazon. Anyway.
With like a tall actor instead of Cruise?
Yeah, I mean, but he's big motherfucker. Right. This guy is big, but he's what the book is. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, if it's what happened on Entourage. I wrote E as a Jack Russell Terrier, and I couldn't find Kevin Connolly, and I love the actor that we almost got him. I'm not going to mention his name, but he was 6'3", and I'm like, that's not what I wrote. It changes everything, and the truth is
I will take him down Chinatown.
He's the perfect Jack Russell, though.
No, but I'm
Jack
saying...
Jack Russell's a little dog, but they're tough.
No, I'm saying I couldn't find him, so the guy I had was 6'3", and I'm like, I started justifying it, and that's... Anyway, Jack Reacher, very good show. Let's get back to the episode. They're at the dog park. Ari has to sell Lloyd. What else can we talk about?
Well, let's talk about Ari selling Lloyd.
Yeah, he's pimping him out, basically. Yeah.
But
he
wasn't really, right? I mean,
well,
like,
he kind of was.
No, he was in that last scene when he said, I want him to deliver it by himself. He knew what he was doing, and he felt guilty about it. And he told Lloyd, take one for the team.
Take one for the team.
Yeah. Take one for the team.
But is there a, I mean, come on, man. If you put, not to say that Lloyd should have gone home with David Lester. Obviously not. That would have been
Mo Lester.
That would have been ugly. But is there a bonus involved? If an assistant goes out and says, like, look, I know this dude, comes back with signed papers as an assistant, come on. That's a, if you sign a guy like that, you're off the desk and you're promoted.
Yeah, but they knew there was sex involved in it. What I want to say is really, truly, I think part of the reason Entourage gets a bad rap of that is because it's a comedy. That episode was 1,000,000% realistic, what was going on in that agency. It's happened 1,000 fucking times. I'm not saying the real Ari would ever do that. There are 100 real agents that have tried to do that, that have done anything they can to do that. So it's just, you know, that's what the town was. And by the way, it still is. Everyone can pretend it isn't, but
I thought it was funny how Ari runs into, when he's going to save Lloyd.
He goes
into the gay club and runs into another married agent. Yeah. It was like, oh, Ari.
I won't tell if you don't tell.
My secret's safe with you.
Also realistic, you know, and more, you know, less in the closet nowadays. So I think that's a good
thing. So Ari feels guilty. And he pulls Lloyd out of there.
Yeah.
Who's drunk and going to be taken advantage of.
Well, Lloyd was trying to numb himself.
By the way, I got to tell you, it looked like Lloyd was on the way, bro.
That's what he was doing. Yeah. That's what Lloyd was doing. Lloyd had decided, I'm doing this for the agency. That was the story. I'm doing this for my career and my agency. I don't feel good about it, so I'm going to get drunk. And while this is a comedy.
By the way, Rex was great in this episode.
Awesome. Rex was great in this episode. Yeah. And by the way, everybody was great in this episode. Yeah. Everybody was great in this episode. The one technical kind of nerdy thing that we talked about was the thing I pointed out about the camera shots. We talked about our two main directors, Julian Farrino and Mark Mylod. Equal geniuses, different styles. Right. So we were talking about how there's one shot where E and Sloan don't want to go with Vince and some random girl to Napa. So E finally basically convinces Vince not to go. And E and Sloan are on the laptop and they're looking at hotels and they're doing whatever. And then the phone rings and it's Vince, and Vince has an idea of a girl that he wants to bring. And Mark Mylod said, I want you to stand up. When he says, right, like I wanted to play, you'll see it if you watch it.
Yeah, you wanted to play off Sloan.
Emmanuel, she's looking at the hotel. She's looking at the hotel, and I'm like, you know, I thought it would be easy for me to play off her. And Mark sets up a shot, and he said, I want you to stand up into the shot because I think it's a comedy cut.
Yeah, and it was brilliant. We actually watched it twice. I said, let's rewind that again.
But it's something for filmmakers.
And what I'll say is normally what we especially did in the first 3 years was keeping it really realistic where the camera wasn't making the joke. Lots of directors, which you guys know we didn't do, will plan out the shots so the actors hit their marks to make the shot.
And if you remember, I kind of had a little bit of a problem with that because I was like, I feel like we're losing the joke here. Because it's a big wide shot of four guys walking down the street.
You know what?
And I thought it, you know, lives in a close-up, but you don't lose it. You really don't.
But you know what? It's a tough thing. I can't debate it. We know that cut work there. Well, it adds to your anxiety. It gives the audience a real in on it without just being subtle. But
And we talked about Mark. That was sort of one of his earlier episodes.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I was just 100% positive. I'm like, Mark, man, I this is funnier if I play this with Sloan in the shot.
Yeah.
It just is. Like, I get the play off of her not knowing what am I going to say. And he said, Kev, you got to trust me. And you know, I was like, all right. And then what happens is it's the shot, you know, and Vince says, I got an idea. You know, I got a girl. And I rise up and I stand into the shot. And I'm like, what? And the joke is like, holy shit.
The difference is it's making almost a documentary, which is how we usually shoot, to making it, you know, using cinema to get the laugh more than adding to the script. And there's an argument to both. And I think Mylod, like I said, is fucking
genius. Well, I went right genius, up after you know? When the episode aired. I said, Mark, when you're wrong, you're wrong. Credit where credit is due. Yeah. You are 100% right. And from that moment, I never questioned anything he did again.
I remember hearing him say that, too. You got to trust me on this.
You got to trust me.
And he was always right.
Yeah. The thing with Mylod and, you know, like the way, and we'll see when I direct this now, and you guys know, I'm more about the actor's performances, and that's not to take away Mark with the actor's performance. He sees every shot
right
before it happens, which is an amazing
right. He
talent.
Was editing that yeah. scene yeah. in his head, and he yeah. knew he needed that shot.
And I look at things like I go, let me see what these actors do, and let me see what we can get it. But I'll tell you, I am.
It
gonna,
felt really unnatural. To stand up.
Because it is. It's a device. It's a cinematic use, and it's a
it
smart use.
It felt weird, but it looked yeah. better.
But I'm gonna look at this new show just to see if there's some visual kicks we can give it to.
You,
again,
you got a couple tricks up your sleeve, Doug?
No, I'm gonna look at you know, because look, that's Hitchcock. That's how they shoot to
Are
make
it. Are you comparing
it.
Yourself to Hitchcock?
No, I'm not. I'm saying I'm a much more subtle, simpler guy who lets the actors be.
Yeah, let it breathe in a wide shot.
But I did think, Dylan, I'll be honest, I've had discussions with Perkel, our DP, about it. Like, you are going to get more close-ups in this because there's empathy that I want to get. I don't worry about your comedy from wide. I want to fucking see, because you have a face that makes people root for you.
You have
know?
A face for radio.
No, they do. Like, people like Dylan when they see him, and they like go, oh.
So are there any walk and talks in this?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to find a walk and talk in there.
We're going to have walk and talks. We're gonna,
but this is a great episode, and it covered a lot, man. I can't yeah. believe that episode was only 28 minutes.
Yeah, it feels like a movie. It's really good.
And I love that we don't know what the next episode is.
Pleasant surprise.
It's called Manic Monday. I don't remember anything about it.
Nothing. And when I walked in here and you said it was the dog park, I was like, oh, I remember the dog park. I had no idea that was the same episode as the Lloyd Ari stuff, which is, you know.
Which we've talked about.
Phenomenal. And then you have the guys, which I think is a great circus. Because I've been there 1,000 times. I have a lot of friends that I hate their girlfriends. And they want to travel. And I'm like, I don't want to fucking go to Europe.
Oh, by the way, that was clearly a Doug Ellis storyline. That's got you written all over it.
For sure it
does. That's got you written all over. I mean, listen, I can honestly could maybe even be that way on like dinner. Like, hey, you want to go to dinner with my friend yeah. and her boyfriend? I'm like, all right, maybe. Yeah. You know?
I don't like to waste a meal. I don't like to waste a meal with people I don't want to be with. And we actually had a nice meal. So even though Connolly didn't order the chicken parm, which was
Doug's
weird.
Like mad that he couldn't Instagram me.
100%. You know how many DMs I got? Did Connolly order the chicken parm? So I like that. And last thing before we go.
Another pep talk?
No, we're shooting a movie right outside here right now. Andrew Dice Clay, they're doing a documentary about him, which I think is going to be awesome. For anyone who really doesn't know about Dice, you should look up a little bit about, you know, was the biggest comic in the world in 1990, and he's obviously made a great comeback, but we're doing his doc, and we're gonna talk about how great he is, I guess, right?
Dylan might not.
Are you staying?
I gotta say a couple things about Dice.
All right, good. Yeah. All right, so...
my man, I love that guy.
And that's it. We'll be back. Victory's Podcast. Doug Ellen.
Kevin Neal.
Kevin Connolly.